Václav Havel was born on the 5th of October 1936 into a wealthy entrepreneurial and intellectual family that, among other things, owned the Lucerna Palace in the center of Prague. Although his bourgeois family background made it difficult for him to pursue an education under the communist regime, he graduated from the theater faculty of the Academy of Performing Arts in Prague in the 1960s, when he was about 30 years old. He initially worked as a stagehand, but soon began directing, writing his own plays, and publishing essays and reflections. After the 1968 occupation of Czechoslovakia by Warsaw Pact forces, he lost the opportunity to work in theatre, but his financial independence was secured through income from abroad. During the 1970s and 1980s, he was repeatedly imprisoned in various parts of the country for his views and dissident activities. He also spent much time at his cottage in Hradeček near Trutnov in eastern Bohemia. Nevertheless, Prague, where he lived in a house on Rašínovo embankment, always remained the main center of his activities. When the pivotal year 1989 arrived, he became the main leader of the newly formed anti-communist opposition, represented by a very broad organization called Civic Forum. As its sole candidate, he was elected president of what was still socialist Czechoslovakia on the 29th of December 1989. After the free elections next year, he was confirmed in office but stepped down in 1992 when it became clear that the shared state of Czechs and Slovaks was heading towards dissolution. He then served as the president of the independent Czech Republic twice, leading the country from 1993 until 2003. During his presidency, Václav Havel gave hundreds of interviews to Czech radio journalists. As president, he often discussed, explained and commented on current political and social issues. Perhaps that is why his post-2003 interviews, when he could speak more freely as a private citizen, are more interesting in retrospect. For example, he described his relationship with the media.
Já jsem popravdě řečeno odbojoval noviny. Já jsem byl zvyklý číst několikero novin.
Honestly, I've stopped reading newspapers. I used to read several newspapers every morning, but it was taking up too much of my time. Now I just watch TV news or listen to news on the radio, usually during the day. But I can't help but keep up with what's happening, especially since I have my own small office that monitors everything, is working, and alerts me when there's something I need to respond to. They also constantly ask me how to reply to emails, invitations, or various other requests that come my way. So I do keep track of Czech political events. However, now and then I feel like I must speak up. There's always the question, though, if I do speak up, whether anyone will publish it or broadcast it. There's no guarantee of that. They'd much rather broadcast or publish something that, from my perspective, isn't all that important, but might entertain readers, like when the tabloid Blesk camps out for 3 days in the woods on our property just to catch us in swimsuits. That's pathetic. One thing that comes to mind is that right after November 1989, we wanted to catch up to and surpass the West. And the sphere where we managed to do this very quickly is the tabloid scene, because I've even noticed a certain tabloidization of newspapers that weren't originally meant to be tabloids. It's a bit shabby, clumsy, but obviously unpleasant. I don't dwell on it too much, but I understand that some people are hurt when nonsense is written about them for years or when they are constantly attacked.
Even though some critics felt that Václav Havel was perhaps too lenient towards the communists after November 1989, he never forgot, even as a former president, the terrible damage their regime caused not only to hundreds of thousands persecuted innocent people, but also to monuments and public spaces in general.
It
seems that it would be really beneficial for the overall atmosphere in society if such cases were pointed out, and possibly even if someone were prosecuted, if prosecutable under any section of the criminal code. Because it would show that we don't completely disregard this, that the nation's identity, which is constantly being talked about, politicians repeat the phrase national interests in every sentence, but the identity of a nation is inconceivable without some sort of continuity, without an awareness of who we were yesterday, what we did the day before, and where we live. And if our shared heritage is neglected, destroyed, or disrespected, it is simultaneously an attack on our contemporary identity. But this is something that probably isn't tied exclusively to the communist era, although it was particularly striking back then, the ways in which various monuments, historic buildings, and urbanism in general were treated. Even that is part of identity, the fact that a city has a certain logic in the way that it has evolved over centuries, but it continues today. It's no longer under the banner of some government ideology, it's under different banners, chiefly those of prosperity, profit, growing GDP, and investment incentives, and so on. These are the banners now being waved. But again, I've encountered it here. Not far from here, there are several villages that are set to be hit hard by mining. This is a region that is still socially unstable, still unsettled here in the borderlands, where today's settlers have, in some way, integrated, mapped out their identity, stand by it, and are proud of it in their own way. And suddenly, it's going to be brutally disrupted. They'll tear up their village squares. These people won't be able to bear it, and eventually they will start to withdraw. Otherwise, it will just be postponed. This is an example that comes to mind at the moment. It's certainly not of national importance, but I use it to illustrate that it wasn't just in the communist era.
He also didn't shy away from recalling how under the communists, even at Hradeček, he was constantly under the surveillance of agents from the communist secret police, state security. And sometimes he had to escape through the surrounding woods.
No, já nejsem velký znalec, já naopak tady co chvíli zabloudím.
Well, I'm not a great expert about the local geography. In fact, I often get lost around here. But there were situations when I really had to flee through the woods in the winter, in snow and a blizzard. At the time, I was a spokesperson for Charter 77, and we had a planned meeting of the three spokespeople in Prague, where we were supposed to adopt several different documents. I think it happened two or three times that I had to flee in this dramatic way. Sometimes they caught me in the woods, sometimes they didn't, but I think I managed to get through to the most important things.
He also clarified a widely circulated story that one time STB agents asked him if he wanted to go to the cinema to see the then very popular film Jaws by the director Steven Spielberg, so that, while supervising him, the STB agents could watch the film too.
Ano, jednou se opravdu něco takového stalo. Nebyly to čelisti, byl to, myslím, Butch Cassidy a Sundance v tom velkém letním...
Yes, something like that really did happen once. It wasn't Jaws, I think it was Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid playing in that big summer cinema in Bojiště in Trutnov. Yes, the agents were constantly with me. It wasn't easy for them here. The house is quite isolated, surrounded by nature on all sides, so keeping watch was sometimes quite complicated. But eventually we got to know each other and communicated in a somewhat polite manner, so I didn't run away from them too often. Although there were a few times when I had to, and I did manage to escape them. And many times they also caught me while I was running away. But I think I actually went to the cinema that time because of them.
At another time, Havel shared that he had an idea for a new play.
Já mám určité téma pro divadelní hru. Už dost dlouho nejsem prezidentem a už jsem nervózní.
I have a certain theme for a play. It's been quite a while since I was president, and I'm getting a bit anxious that I haven't written it yet. But on the other hand, I tell myself it's not an obligation, and I can write it now or in 10 years. Nevertheless, it's starting to weigh on me a little. A specific theme is taking shape in my mind, but I don't seem to have enough focus. I have countless unfinished responsibilities, tasks, distracting experiences, and I also feel burdened by a different kind of expectation after all these years. People keep asking me, have you written anything yet? What is it about? And so on. I think that doesn't exactly increase my desire to write. I honestly think I've written enough in my life that I'm not obligated to write anything. And also, if I may say so, I'm a bit tired of writing, because during my presidency, there was no break from it. Quite the opposite. During that time, I wrote more than I have ever written in my life, as I was writing my speeches almost every weekend. I couldn't just read something someone else had written, and in the end, I wrote an enormous amount. So maybe I just need to take a breather. I probably need to recharge, and one day it might come, and I'll sit down and write something important. Or maybe I won't write anything at all.
Eventually, Václav Havel did sit down and wrote his final play, Leaving. After its American premiere in Philadelphia in 2010, he shared his immediate impressions with Czech radio.
I'm curious to see how many people will actually come to see it. today at the premiere, there was probably a more intellectual audience, which received it very kindly. They even noticed certain things that people back home wouldn't usually pick up on. But what will happen next? I don't know. We'll see.
Whenever a text is translated, certain shifts occur. Did you feel that the shifts were significant here? Was there something missing from the original Czech that you found bothersome? Or conversely, was there something extra added that wasn't in the Czech version?
Ano, obojí je pravda. Byly tady okamžiky, kdy se prostě něco...
Yes, both are true. There were moments when something inevitably got lost, simply because it was so closely tied to the language that it was untranslatable. But I've experienced this with all of my plays. This happens. And here and there, something shone through with a different meaning that I knew it could have. And that, of course, makes any author happy when it happens. Because the author is really just a medium that serves something, but they really aren't an all-knowing figure who lectures the world on how things really are.
Doufám, že to není jaksi nefér otázka, ale kdybyste měl srovnat to před...
I hope this isn't an unfair question, but if you were to compare this performance here in Philadelphia with those already staged in other countries like Croatia, Bulgaria, or if I'm not mistaken, Germany, would you say it's on the same level or is it better or worse in some ways?
Já jsem všechny ty inscenace neviděl, ale pokud jsem mohl, tak jsem se snažil na ně zajet.
I haven't seen all of the productions, but when I could, I tried to attend because I was interested. I would definitely place this performance in the upper half if we were ranking them based on popularity or respect for its merits. It's in a very good spot.
Jaký je to pro vás pocit jako pro autora, když se hraje vaše hra tady?
So, what is it like for you as the author to have your play performed here in America? Of course, some of your other plays have already been performed on this side of the Atlantic, but this is the first play since you, let's say, stepped down from political life. Do you feel any connection with the actors? Do you feel they understand kind of internally what they are performing, what you had in mind?
No, já jsem skutečně 20 let nic pro divadlo nenapsal, měl jsem jiný job.
Well, I haven't written anything for the theater in 20 years. I had another job and other concerns, but I don't feel it's a tragic break. It feels like I wrote these previous plays just the day before yesterday.
Takže je to stejné.
So, does it feel the same?
No, řekl bych, že ano. To musí posoudit jiní.
I would say yes, but others will have to judge that. Of course, I'm in a more complicated situation because many people were waiting with a kind of malicious curiosity, eager to say that I had become estranged from it, that there was no way back. But nothing like that has really come up, or only to a minimal extent. So I can't complain.
Takže se nemohu stěžovat.
Václav Havel passed away on the 18th of December 2011 at Hrádeček near Trutnov. His state funeral, attended by dozens of world leaders and dignitaries, took place in St. Vitus Cathedral in his native Prague, where he is buried at Vinohrady Cemetery.